All right, everybody stand up now that you're comfortable and seated and everything's put away just where you want it. We're going to talk about, you know, one of the keys about life is freedom is really a big deal in people's lives. Freedom comes at a tremendous cost. Our fathers, many of them died to get us what we are receiving today and enjoying today. You know, the key would be as you're in here, you're enjoying the air conditioning, you're enjoying the padded pews. And all of that is fantastic. But if I were to come up and say to you, all the doors are padlocked. We have been invaded. There's communists outside the doors. The country's been overrun by Russia. We've surrendered. Everybody is under attack. So we cannot leave this. You are now incarcerated in this building. Well, suddenly the air conditioning and the padded pews and all the things you're enjoying would not be as enjoyable if you knew that you were padlocked inside this building. In the back of your mind, what happens is, in the back of your mind, enjoying all these things, really, you can't really enjoy them because you're thinking, I'm not free, I'm bound, I'm incarcerated. And one of the keys is, you can imagine, we're going to talk about the children of Israel in the book of Exodus. Everybody say Exodus, would you? Whenever you read one of the only books in the Bible that announces itself what it's about, Exodus means to be liberated, to be set free, to leave. And that's what the word Exodus is about. Look at somebody and say, somebody's about to be set free today. Would you just say, somebody's about to be set free today? And Exodus is that idea that they were 400 years in slavery, 400 years incarceration. Can you imagine if you and I had been in this building for 400 years together? Let's just say that we've been incarcerated for 400 years. We're locked up. And what happens is this. When you are that way, when you have experienced that, if you and I had been in this building for 400 years, there would be a sensitivity that other people would not experience, because when you've gone through some things that other people have not, you respond differently than other people respond. See, they don't understand why. We run a school in the back, and I'm the administrator over the academy, and I'm just a figurehead because we have the real people that know what they're doing back there with Sue and all that group. But I'm the figure, and so in certain situations, though, I'm called in to deal with when certain people have problems and it gets too big, and so I'm called in. And I'll go back in the back, and I'll deal with situations. And you would not believe some of the things that you would not even think would be a problem is a problem to some people. There would be a situation where somebody takes things very offensively, where it was never meant to be offensive. But because of their background, of them being hurt, or them being their family being a certain way, or dysfunction, whatever it may be, things occur. You need to be sensitive to that. And this morning we understand that some of you have literally been incarcerated by sin, some of you by abuse, some of you by whatever it may be. Some of you have literally been incarcerated. Some of you have been cell block B. Your number was 5, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10. You've been in physical. You look okay today because you're all dressed up and smell good and your hair and cologne and all that stuff. But listen, you know where you came from, and you're sensitive to some things that other people are not sensitive to. And so you understand that. So what we're going to talk today is about freedom. There's something about freedom that when you get it in the back of your mind, no matter what you're going through, you know you're free. We've helped and helped. Listen, some of you are single moms today, and I'm going to tell you, you'd rather be a single mom and free than in that place where you got your head butted in and you get kicked and all. You'd rather be free. Come on, somebody. You'd rather be free today. You better be set free. So there's a lot of things may be occurring, and you understand that freedom is something valuable that many people gave their lives so you and I can experience it today. So we're going to talk about that today, sort of. In Exodus chapter 8, it says, Moses said to Pharaoh, the honor, I love this phrase, the honor is yours to tell me. When shall I entreat for you and your servants and your people that the frogs, everybody say frogs. How many of you like frogs? This is, how many of you like frogs? How many of you don't like frogs? Let's see your hand. Last night we had Jasmine screaming from the bedroom. Ah, came and grabbed me. Come quick, come quick. There's a creature loose in the bathroom. So I come in there, and it's a big worm. I don't know how it got in our bathroom. Big old worm. My brain said, fishing. Come on, everybody say, fishing. And she was, you know, she wanted to fry it. You know, I said, don't fry the worm. It's just a worm. Yeah, flush it down and come out. So we let it loose in the garden. And, but But you can imagine they had this time when they had frogs. And I'll get into that a little bit later in the story. But Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, the honor's yours. When do you want the frogs gone? When do you want the frogs gone? And destroyed from you and your houses that they may be left only in the Nile. And he said what? Anybody say dumb? Everybody say dumb. Would you say dumb? So the topic this morning is one more night with the frogs. Sorry about it. Look at somebody and say one more night with the frogs. Would you say that? Just one more night. One more night. Let's pray. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. We thank you for what you want to do in our lives. We just open up to you this morning. We love you, Abba, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give the Lord a good clap off one more time for you. Will you? Come on. All right, you can be seated today. Moses had the task of delivering out of Egypt millions of people who were delivered physically before they were ever delivered mentally or spiritually. And I don't know if you've ever had to deal with that, because sometimes I've done a lot of weddings where I felt at some point that they were getting married physically long before they were getting married spiritually or emotionally or other things. And what happens in life when people get delivered physically before they're really delivered mentally or spiritually, they end up complaining the Israelites did. And let me just talk to you. Let me show you what that's about, and then we're going to go into it. In Romans 8, there's a very telling verse that says, for you have not received a what? A spirit of what? Slavery. Everybody say a spirit of slavery one more time. Leading it to fear again, but you have received a spirit of what? Adoption. There's two spirits here. There's two different ideas here that's listed. One is called a spirit of slavery. The other one is called a spirit of adoption. You would think that the difference and the opposite of spirit of slavery would be a spirit of freedom. But literally, it's a spirit of adoption. And I don't know if you know this or not. God only had one begotten son. All the rest of us is adopted. Did you know that? Nobody else here is the only begotten son of God. Nobody else is here. Only God only had one begotten, the only begotten son of God. All the rest of us has been adopted. And you got to understand this, because adoption though is something that's so real, so powerful. So it says, this, we have not received a spirit of slavery leading into fear, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer, we also reign with Him. We were in South Africa one time. I remember there was a court case going on. And I remember the judge, it was an adoption case. And this judge brought this couple before them and said, I haven't signed the adoption papers yet. Let me just talk to you before I sign these adoption papers that you want me to sign. Right now, it was a young boy, he said, right now if that boy gets sick, you have no responsibility. Right now if that boy ends up with a terminal illness, you don't owe one dime. Right now if that boy does something, you're not responsible in any way, shape. But as soon as I sign this paper, if he has a terminal illness, it may bankrupt you. If he has a problem, you may have to go and deal with this and this and this and this. If he doesn't, you're going to be absolutely responsible, and everything you got is going to belong to him. Let me tell you, God did that exact same thing for me and you one day. Look at somebody and say, I've been adopted. Would you say that, somebody? God went into it with eyes wide open when he adopted you. And the Bible says, Paul writes and says, we've not received a spirit of slavery, but we've received a spirit of adoption, whereas we can call God our Father. And the term Abba, you know, the first two letters in the alphabet's A and B. In the Hebrew, it's Alpha. I wrote it down. It's Allah and Bet, which almost like ours. And the Greek is almost the same. And many pediatricians will tell you some of the easiest sounds that a baby will make is Abba. It's just an easy sound to make. And literally, the word Abba is the word for daddy in the Hebrew language or in the Greek. It means it's intimate. It's not some formal word for father. It's dad. It's daddy. And when you hear that, it literally wasn't some religious or ceremonial word, but says when you get that spirit of adoption on you, You run up to God as if God is your daddy, and you jump in his lap, and you put your arms around him. And the word worship means to kiss toward. And you kiss him, and there's an intimate relationship. And that spirit of adoption is so different. You don't think about anything. You just run. It's natural because he adopted you. You love him. You're his, and he is yours. And so you love him with all your heart. But over against that is a spirit of slavery. Over against that, trying to keep you from ever experiencing and enjoying the spirit of adoption, is this incarcerating bondage called the spirit of slavery that causes you to fear again. Brings you to a place, should I? Can I? Is it okay if I do? Can I really go? I remember the first time my kids asked me, can I get some food out of the refrigerator? I don't know if you ever had that raising kids. One of them asked me one time, can I go to the refrigerator? Most of you said, I've never had that in my life. They clean it out. I know when they get older, but I'm talking about when they're real little. And I don't remember whether, I think Jasmine put a lock on it. No, she didn't put a lock on it. But they ask about where they go and get the food out of the refrigerator. But you know, after that point, we got by that hurdle. They never asked one more time. Come on, somebody. They ate whatever they wanted. They did da da da. And so what happens is, but there's always over against this spirit of intimacy, this spirit of adoption, this spirit of I'm his and he is mine, daddy. There's always against it this thing called a spirit of slavery that tries to bring you back into fear throughout your life. And it tries to bring you into bondage. In fact, John 8, it's like this. It says, Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word. Now listen, these are the Jews who had believed him. We're not talking about this group of religious, you know, that didn't even have nothing to do with Jesus. These had believed on him. They'd believed in what he said. And it's like I told you in the school, sometimes you'll say something and there'll be a reaction you weren't even expecting. Because the Jews now were under bondage. The Jews were under the thumb of the Roman Empire. They were cruel. They were mean. They were mean-spirited. Soldiers were just, it was just cruel, the taxation and all that took place. And the Bible says that here's Jesus, and he's got a group of those that had responded to his message. And so Jesus was saying to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you'll know the truth. And just stay right here a minute. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And you think like us, we go, praise God. But listen, watch the reaction of the Jews. What's what they say? They answered him, hallelujah. That says, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved by anybody. That's a lie. They'd been enslaved for 400 years in Egypt, and now they were enslaved by the Roman Empire. But man, they weren't going to admit to it. They were not going to give in, but they were enslaved. And they've been enslaved. We haven't been enslaved to anyone. How is it you say you'll become free? These are the ones that believed in him, not the mean ones. And Jesus said, let me tell you something about enslavement. Let me tell you something about slavery. Let me tell you something about a spirit of slavery, bondage, incarceration. Let me tell you about that. So his goal is far beyond just getting locked up down in the jail downtown. Goes far beyond that. He said, truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin, you're enslaved by that thing. You're incarcerated by that thing. You're in cell block B of lust. You're in cell block B of drugs. You're in cell block B of pornography. You're in cell block B. And he says, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Son does. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If I set you free from a spirit of slavery and give you a spirit of adoption, you become no longer a slave but a son. But always in your life, there is this spirit of slavery trying to bring you back from under the freedom of the spirit of adoption, to bring you back under a spirit of slavery where you become fearful again in your life. And all that took place there. So what happens is this. When you find the children of Israel, in Exodus chapter 8, it's the story of their deliverance. Exodus means to get out, go. There's the story of their deliverance of being slaves for 400 years. And the amazing thing about it is their lives, they never went into there wanting to be slaves. Nobody ever starts something thinking, I'm going to do this so I can really become a slave to it. Nobody ever takes their first drink thinking, I wish I'd become an alcoholic. Nobody ever takes that first whiff of marijuana thinking, I hope I really get hooked on cocaine one day. Nobody ever takes that first look think, well, I hope I really just get caught up in pornography or caught up in adultery or caught. I just hope I really get stuck in this. You know, the children of Israel went down to Egypt not because they thought about, you know, let's go to Egypt and become slaves. They went to Egypt thinking it's a famine in the land. We'll just go down for a little while. We'll get it, and then we'll just leave when we want to leave. One of the lies of the devil is you can put your hand to something. You can let go of it anytime you want. There are seasons when you hold on to that thing so long that you just can't say no to drugs anymore. Come on, it's a good program, but listen, it's hard to tell kids just say no to something they want to do very bad. It's hard to tell them, don't do this, don't do that. And so what happens is sometimes it takes a mighty deliverance from God to set you free, as it did the children of Israel when they had been there for 400 years. And they got, come on. Sometimes you need the power of God in your life to set you free from the things you got caught up into. And you never meant to get caught up. You meant just to play with it or go down there for a little while. They did not go in as slaves, but as free men. And so what happened was they literally began to be bound, and they couldn't get out of it. You know what they did? When they came to the place where they realized they couldn't get out, here's what they did. Watch this. In the book of Acts, it says this. God is speaking to Moses. He says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. And I have heard their what? The word groans means, it's the Greek word, means unutterable gushings of the heart. It meant when it's so bad you can't even say it. And it's deep inside where nobody, even if you could say it, nobody could understand it. Let me tell you, God knows the unutterable gushings of your hearts. And the Bible says he heard these from his people. They realized we got caught up in this stuff. Now we're slaves. We didn't go in to be that. We came in as free men, but now we're slaves. We just can't get up one day and say, okay, let's leave. We had enough of this now. Let's just pack our bags and go back to Israel. You get to a place where you become a slave. You get to a place where you're bound. You get to a place where you can't come out of it except by mighty hand of the living God. And one of the greatest words, two words in the Bible is, but God. Everybody say, but God. I tell you, it can be as bad as it wants to be, but God, who is rich in mercy. Come on. With the love wherewith he loved us, he will do those things. So the Bible says this. When you study the Exodus of Israel, you will see the spirit of slavery. There are four lies that the spirit of slavery always says and tells and tries to whisper in your ear to keep you as in the spirit of slavery rather than experiencing the spirit of adoption whereby you can cry with intimacy, Abba, Father. It'd rather keep you over here in a spirit of slavery where you're afraid of sin and death and you're always dealing and you're always bound and you're always caught up. And there's things that it says, God says, I've seen these things. And so literally there is the groans that he does. And he sends Moses. You know, one of the things about freedom is a very scary thing sometimes. And deliverance can be a very dangerous thing at times. You know, when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, the Bible says that they got to the Red Sea, and God didn't send a boat. I'm going to say amen. God didn't send a boat, a barge, an angel, a guard, rafts. He didn't build a bridge. What God did was, and the Bible says all night long, God just went, and the walls of water divided, and they were tall. And the Bible, I don't know if you read it clearly, but the Bible says, and the ground became dry. Do you know what that means? Come on, every mama that's got little boys. Do you know what that means? That means no mud. Come on, that means no mud. Doesn't God do more than you ask or think? Doesn't God do beyond? Isn't God just good? Some things you don't even know you need, He gives you sometimes. Some things you didn't even ask for. Here's God. You take a junior and all the rest of it across this, and instead of slopping through mud like pigs, He's dried. Come on. Listen, when God's in the business, He turns His breath into a hair dryer. Come on, somebody. I mean, He'll just dry the way. And they went through that thing, not a piece of mud on their shoes. But He breathes, and here's the problem, though. Sometimes in your deliverance, sometime when you've experienced the blood of the Lamb, and you've been passed over, angel has happened, and you've gone in and they've gotten all the wealth of Egypt is on you now. The Bible says, when you read it very clearly, they even had so much of the wealth, they put it on their children to carry the wealth. Because remember, before they left, God said, now you go ask every your neighbor for this and this and this. They had so much money that when Moses in the wilderness asked for an offering to build the tabernacle, the Bible says He finally had to stop them. Don't give no more. That's all I need. You know why? See, Pharaoh wasn't coming after them so much to get slaves back, because slaves were a dime a dozen back in that day. You know why? He was coming back because they had just stripped Egypt of all their finances. Man, they were laden with, they were coming across there full of the treasure, the wealth. There'd been a transference. Come on, somebody. There'd been a transference of wealth. And so they'd done this. And so Pharaoh comes in. But here's the deal. They're walking through and they're looking at the sides. But they heard, listen to this, they heard the hoofbeats of Pharaoh's army coming after them. And sometimes, listen, sometimes when you've been delivered and you've already given your testimony, how you've been set free, then what happens in your life is you begin, listen, only you can hear these things. Only somebody that's experienced it can hear the warning signs and know the warning signs of that thing that you got free from is trying to get back on you. Come on, somebody. It's trying to recapture you. It's trying to bring you back. It's trying to get a hold of you again. And you can't tell nobody because you done gave your testimony how God delivered you. But you hear in your mind, you hear in your ears, that thing that you got delivered from chasing you, trying to draw you back in. So the Bible says this, they came out of Egypt and they began to be, but there's four lies that the spirit of slavery always tells. So whispers in your ear to bring you back when you're trying to be a spirit of adoption. Let me just give these to you. We're going to pray this morning. The first one is this. Four lies, and the first thing he tries is, who is God? Look at Exodus, what Pharaoh says. Moses and Aaron approached, and they said, God, the God of Israel, said, free my people as they make a hold of a festival for me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, who is God? And whether you want to admit it or not, there'll be times in your life when you're walking around and all of a sudden there'll be whispered in your ear, is there really a God? Is this thing real? Is the Bible real? Is any of this real? Am I even here? Am I dreaming? What's happening in my life? Does God even exist? Which God is a real God? Maybe everybody's God is right. And these lies come into your heart, into your brain, and they are the spirit of slavery trying to bring you back into a slavery spirit where you fear again. Instead of having this intimate relationship with the Almighty God, where you're up in His lap and you know that you know that you know He's alive, and you look at Him and you say, Abba, Father, I love you. You're over here with a spirit of slavery where you're wondering whether there's even a God, whether which God is real, whether the Bible's true or not true, is it full of errors, not full of errors, and you're sitting over here fearful about everything in life. And that spirit of slavery trying to grab hold of you and bring you back. And you know what happened when Moses came on the scene and said these things? You know what happened? The Bible says things got worse. It's like you come to church. Watch this. Moses comes and says, on the same day that Moses came and says, free my people. Same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters over the people and their foremen, saying, no longer give them straw, make them brick as make brick as previously. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the quota of the bricks and all that's going to stay the same because they're a lazy bunch of people. You know what happened the day after Moses shows up and tells Pharaoh? You know what happens the same day? All of a sudden, words get back down to the Israelites. Guess what's going on, buddies? You're a lazy bunch. You should never let that guy come in and talk about freedom. Should never have listened to anything about a spirit of it. You better never listen. You know what's going to happen to you? You now got the same quota of bricks, but now you got to go get your own straw. You know what happened? Things got worse. You ever been to church and you listened and you gave and you listened and you made a commitment and you vowed, and then the next thing you know, all hell broke loose on you. That same day you had a flat on the way home and you just took out the spare tire so you could do something to bring something to church that morning, and you left the spare tire at home. And next thing you know, you get a call in, and this happens, and that happens, and this breaks, and that breaks, and you think, it's because I went to church. Come on, somebody. Listen, that spirit lies. It always gets you to try to misplace blame. The devil always does it and says, now look at that act of God. Look at this thing that happened. And the taskmaster tried to bring him back in. And so one of the first things that happens in life is this. Listen, instead of doing that, you need to understand that there is a spirit of slavery trying to lie to you. I'm going to tell you, I'd rather be in a little bitty place with you know, nothing and free rather than live over in a mansion under a spirit of slavery. Come on. I'd rather love God and be free. And so when that happens in your life, you need to understand it. But you know what the neat thing is? God is working behind the scenes. God is always working behind the scenes in your life. Whether you know it or not, whether you understand it or not, there is a behind the scene God. He's doing what he can do. And I want you to see this, because in Exodus chapter 8, we read it just a minute ago, but read it again. Exodus chapter 8, Pharaoh called for Moses, and he says, entreat the Lord, because God has brought a plague on the land now. And God is showing Pharaoh who is Lord, who's not. You want to know who God is? I'll show you who God is. You like frogs, Pharaoh? All right, I'll send you a bunch of them. And there was a frog god down there and all that. But all of a sudden, God commands frogs to cover the land of Egypt. And I don't know if you like frogs or not, but they'd pull their sheets down at night, and guess what'd be there? Frogs everywhere. They get up in the middle of the night, you know, to go grab something out of the fridge, and then squoosh, squoosh. They'd open the refrigerator, out pop 5 frogs. In the morning, they'd be cooking oatmeal, and 5 frogs would be looking out the pots, looking at the oatmeal pots. I mean, they were all over. You couldn't send your kids. I remember one time we sold a house out in Central, and I remember that we had a number of lizards out there, and I liked lizards because they ate all the other insects and da-da-da, so I let them roam. I remember the girl that had the upstairs room, she went to work. She was a nurse. She went to work. I remember she said somewhere around mid-morning, she felt something crawling in the back of her sweater. Come on, come on. That whole morning there had been a lizard in the back of her. She didn't know about it. And in Egypt, there was frogs everywhere. I mean, there was frogs everywhere. You put your wig on, there'd be a frog up in your wig. I mean, you couldn't believe what take place. So the one other thing, let me tell you how stupid the devil is. They couldn't make him go away. The devil can never undo what God has done. But I want you to notice, and listen, what the hell, you know, the Bible says Jesus cast out many dumb spirits. I think they're all dumb. Come on, somebody. Because listen, Exodus chapter 8, listen to this. Exodus chapter 8, it says, entreat the Lord that he may remove the frogs from me, that he may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses said, the honor is yours. Tell me, when do you want them gone? When do you want them gone? How many of you have said, right now? I want them done tonight. Just say the word and they're gone. Let me tell you how dumb the devil is. When do you want them done? When do you want them gone? Here's what he says. He says, everybody say it with me. One more night with the frogs. Yes, the lie of the devil is always this. Listen to this. The lie of the devil is always this. He always tries to get you never to do it today. He always tries to get you. Say this. Wait. Don't. Listen. Okay, go ahead and listen to the message this morning. But just don't do anything today. Think about it. Contemplate it. Think about it. And then decide maybe, everybody said, decide when? Tomorrow. The devil always wants you to wait to tomorrow to make your decisions, because he knows and you know tomorrow it'll be gone. Tomorrow the pull of the Holy Spirit. I like it. Look at the book of Hebrews, what it says in Hebrews. Go on to that one if you would. It says this, but today if you will hear, therefore just as the Holy Spirit says, say it with me, what? Today, if you will hear his voice. If I could tell you anything, if you don't do it when the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart, it will be gone tomorrow. I've learned to be sensitive and try to move when the Holy Spirit moves, because no man can come to the Father except the Holy Spirit draw him. And if I think I'll get up tomorrow morning and I'll do it then, listen, it's always that spirit. That's how the spirit of slavery works. He says, never respond right now. Wait till tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll do it. Wait, I mean, anybody who's right mind would have said, when do you want the frogs gone? Right now. Say the word and out goes the frogs. But it's a spirit of slavery that always says tomorrow. Because what? Tomorrow never comes. Tomorrow, that spirit says the same. Wait till Tuesday. You know, you got Mondays busy and all that. Wait till Tuesday. Tuesday's even less. Wait till Wednesday. Wait till Thursday. Listen, the spirit of slavery always tries to get you to stay in there and never listen. Everybody say one more night with the frogs. Let me be real honest with you. One more night at the bar might be the time you drive home drunk and have a head on, and you and everybody else is dead in that car. One more night with that person. One more night out in the bars. One more night out in the massage parlors. One more night out drinking. One more night at the casino. Just tomorrow. And what happens is, this thing happens where you don't know, maybe that one more time might be the end. And it's always always put off, because he knows by this time, if you wait a day or two, the pulling and the tugging, man, God will not always strive. He won't always pull. And today, everybody say today. Today if you hear his voice. Today if you hear the Holy Spirit. Today if you hear the spirit of adoption calling you. Listen, I want to bring you to an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I want you to experience the spirit of adoption. I don't want you to have a spirit of slavery back unto fear, but a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. And so this spirit always cries, and what it does is it lies to you. Don't do it today. You'll say, okay, it's fine. Go ahead and do it, but wait till tomorrow. And then the third one I really like is don't go too far. Let church be like the Kiwanis Club. Something you do on Sundays. You divorce it from the rest of your life. Doesn't apply to your family life. Doesn't apply to your work life. Doesn't apply to your school. Doesn't apply to you know, what you're doing and what you're going. It's just like a club. You just do it. Do it. Yeah, do it. But just don't go too far. Do it, but just keep it so far. And so Exodus, so Pharaoh, the spirit of slavery, says, called Moses there and said, go sacrifice to your God within the land. And Moses said, it's not right to do so. For we will sacrifice to the Lord our God what is an abomination to the Egyptians, and they'll kill us. It's a trick. Look, next verse. We must go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands. And Pharaoh says, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God. Only you shall not go very far away. Do you know what I learned a long time ago? If I'm going to do it, I'm going to go all out. I'm going to get lock, stock, and barrel. The whole 9 yards, that's an old term they used from the old days when they used to have fly planes with these long clips. And a clip was 9 yards long, and that's what they shot. And they had the whole 9 yards, they called it. And what happens in life, if you're going to do it, don't let the spirit of slavery, because if you do this and you say, well, I'll just keep it on Sundays. You know, I don't mix it in with my business. I don't want to mix it in with my, you know, my family life. I don't mix it in because I'm going to raise them like my mama raised me. I'm going to, you know, work like my dad worked. I'm going to do all this. If you do that, you'll end up in a spirit of slavery and not even know it. You'll be a fearful person living under sin and die. And you'll never experience the real experience of a spirit of adoption where you know, I have been adopted into the family of God. He loves me. I can call him Abba Father. I'm on a relationship. I know him. He knows me. But you'll be like a slave in the house. You'll be under a fearful living, a fearful thing. You'll be bound by things. You'll be under the bondage of things. And so what happens is this. Pharaoh comes and says, I'll let you go, but only go so far. He always wants you to hang around the fringes. Stay around your old friends. You know, go to church on Sunday, but stay around your old friends. Hang around them, go this, go that with them. Hang around them. This is called never burning your bridges. There have been times in your life when God's going to tell you to do this. They may do it, but you can't. They may experience. I remember a buddy of mine, he was an alcoholic. and he had saved on these planes he'd been on. He had all these bottles of liquor that he got from these different planes. He had a cabinet full of them. And the one thing he did after he got delivered from alcoholism, he went and he opened every one of those and poured every one of them down the drain. Just got rid of every one of them. Burned his bridges. You know why God closed the Red Sea back? It was, number one, was to kill Pharaoh and his army. But number two was to cut off the retreat line so they couldn't go back to Egypt. Because it wasn't but a few months or a few weeks into this trip that they began to say, you know what? Egypt was a lot better than here. Egypt was a lot better than standing in this wilderness. Egypt, you know, we remember the garlic, the leeks, the food, the Nile, the da-da-da. We remember all that. But then something came in their brain. But you know what? That sea ain't open no more. The sea's closed up. You know, there's seasons in your life, a spirit of slavery will tell you don't close the sea. A spirit of slavery will tell you keep open some doors, keep your old friends, keep this, keep that. And what happens is you literally get to a place where you end back up into a spirit of slavery. Musicians, come on back up. The last one is this. The last one is no sacrifices. I like what Exodus says. Pharaoh called him Moses, go and worship God, but leave your flocks and herds behind, but go ahead and take your children. And they said, you have to let us take our sacrificial animals and offerings and with us so we can sacrifice to them in worship to our God. Our livestock will go with us and not a hoof left behind. They'll be part of our worship. And we don't want just what we will be needed until we get there. We don't want what we get. And what they did was this. I remember John Jacobs and the power team came one time. And one of the girls that gave a testimony when he was here many years ago had grown up in a Satanist home. And she told the story. She said, you don't know this, but we went to church every Sunday. And she gave her testimony. She said, but we went to a church where they sang formally. They really sang good songs, but then nobody believed them. You could tell as they sang them. They just sang them out of rote and out of whatever. And said, my dad... That's where we'd go. One day, he said, we were passing a church, and there were a lot of cars. And I said, Dad, why don't we go there next Sunday? And said, my dad slapped me as hard as he could slap me. He said, I don't know why. He never said any more. She said, but one day, I went to that church. She said, I went into there, and said, it was a place where there were people just loving God and worshiping God with everything in them. They weren't some holier-than-thou group. He said, you could just see people, God forbid, there'd be tears rolling down some of their faces. Some of them just laid down and just worshiped him on the floor. Some lift their hands. Some got down on the pew. Said you could just tell they were not just singing songs. They were worshiping God like they knew him. She said, that Sunday changed my entire life. God touched me. I was delivered. Got delivered from all that stuff, from a spirit of slavery. Said I just knew God, that he was my father. And that spirit of adoption came on him. I love what Romans 8 says. And let's read it in ending. It says, you've not received a spirit of slavery to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The spirit of slavery whispers in your ear, be formal. Don't really get too emotional. Just be, you know, theologically correct. Never give in to your emotion. Never give in to wanting to love God with everything that's in you. But see, some of you need to kind of remember back what he delivered you out of. And when you remember back sometimes, nobody else may understand it, but listen, God understands the unutterable gushings of your heart. And sometimes you're just going to worship God and you don't understand because other people don't understand. You've been incarcerated. And now you're free. I mean, you were bound by sin. Now you're free. And God is your Father. You just want to love him. And it don't matter what anybody else thinks this morning. The spirit of slavery, tell anybody they want to that you just don't sacrifice. You just don't really worship because the Bible says the New Testament form of sacrifice is a sacrifice of praise. And so we just love him. We worship him. And I don't know about you. I'm really more liberated when I'm by myself at home. But there are just sometimes you just need to lift your voice. I want everybody to stand up this morning, would you? We're going to sing again this morning. And I want you to do this. Would you just not let the spirit of slavery whisper in your ear about not going too far, or maybe not worshiping, or who is God? Why don't you just sell out to God and please say, God, I believe you're real. You're real. You're real. You're real. And God, I believe everything about your word. I believe, God, it all. I believe it, Lord. Just let the Lord begin to do that in your heart. Let it begin just to break through one more time. All the spirit of slavery and fearfulness and why he can't bless you, why he can't do those things. And just get away from that. And this morning, just lift your hand and say, God, I'm coming out of a spirit of slavery. All that fear, I'm coming into a spirit of adoption this morning. I'm going to lift my hands and love you and worship you. And let God's spirit just, let God begin to breathe on you afresh and new. And bring it all. Like, come on, let's worship. Come on, let's do this. Come on, give a good time.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break it, Lord. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain.
Oh, worship you, Lord.
There is power.
Just do the second song again. Get ready for this. Listen, I'm going to pray over you right now, and we're going to sing this other song. I want you, God loves you. You've adopted you. He brought you into the kingdom. But I pray over you this morning that you have not been given a spirit of fear, a spirit of slavery. But you have been given a spirit of adoption. You have been adopted into the Most High God's family. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God and heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. He has given you all that His name. He's put His name on you. He's called you out of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous Son and light. And this morning I pray over you a spirit of adoption would fall in this place. And we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are real. Oh God, that the God of Israel and the God of the Christian church is real. And we love you. Give another good clap offering. Come on. Let's sing one more time. Come on. Lift your voice.
God should always break the good
time. Come on, let him do it.
Breaking in the lives and healing hearts. Your love is torn the veil. Your love can never fail. Your love is making all
come
things
on, let him do
new.
It.
God should always break the good time. Breaking in the lives and healing hearts.
Let him do it.
Your love is torn the veil. Your
come
love
on.
Can never fail. Your love is making all
come on, don't be afraid. Spirit of adoption. Quick, whom the Son has set free, free indeed. You know, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus really talked about all those incarcerations done by sin and all that junk that, you know, you get caught up in. And maybe yours might be totally different than the next person beside you, but listen, it's all the same spirit of slavery. It's got different names and different reasons they're in, but they're all in prison. They're all incarcerated. Different reasons why, but they're all incarcerated. And this morning you might be in that. You might be Jesus. We dug deeper and said anybody that's bound by sin is a slave to it. And this morning he's come, but he said, but I've come to open up every prison door. I've come to release every cell block. I've come to set every prisoner free. I've come that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Father, this morning I thank you for sending your Son to set us free. That we can come out under a spirit of slavery to fear again. And we can come under the spirit of adoption. That we are yours and you are ours, Daddy. And we say intimately this morning yet, we'd rather under the spirit of adoption. And we put our hands around your neck, set on your lap. We tell you, Lord, all of our heart's desire. We worship, we kiss towards you, Lord. We thank you that it's not a formal thing, it's a relationship this morning. Everybody said amen today, would you? Can you give him one more good clap offering in Jesus' name? God bless you. Give somebody a good hug. Would you do that? Give him a good hug in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you next Wednesday.